With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Stadium with an absolute peach of a punt where he is. The bell might know it's off. It's called off. It's all over.
Yes, it's all over. It's all over, but we're just getting started. From inside the Toronto Mike Studios, it's another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Jason Portwando alongside the legendary one, and that was the uppercut heard round the world. And man, oh man, I know you're a big time boxing fan.
Huge.
And I'm huge. We need to get boxing back on the map, but what a way to start this show.
Listen, one, great to see you again. And yes, I for those who don't know, I think my inner dream was to be a boxer.
Was that your backup plan?
Hell no.
Okay.
That's a rough way to make a living, man. But I think I appreciate the sport so well. I mean, and I got some really good friends that are, you know, world champions, undisputed champions. So it's always good to watch the sport and be mesmerized by these people at the highest level, of their sport, and highest level of that sport is quite spectacular. What we saw, Jason, man, what we saw this weekend, heavyweight championship fight, Dillian White, a big fan of Dillian White. I thought, yeah, man, my brethren's going to go in there and he's going to pull an upset. I actually thought that he had a shot. I think that he had a pretty good game plan. I mean, it seemed like he had a pretty good game plan. And, just didn't work out that way, man. Tyson Fury, a different level. Mm. 6'9", 300 pounds, massively fast hands and fast legs for a guy that size. And, as you said, the uppercut heard and seen around the world that landed my man Dillian White on his back. Yeah, that was kind of tough.
And if you ask White, he'll tell you felt around the world as well.
Well, yeah.
Brother got rocked.
Yeah.
Got rocked. So we're off and running on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. As per usual, we ask that you like, share, subscribe, follow. Powered by Acast and 94,000. That is a post-war British record. And talk about the most perfect backdrop, Wembley. I mean, yeah. How beautiful is that? I mean, I'm not sure what lasted longer, the fight or the walkout.
Really funny? I actually didn't even realize how long that walk was. I mean, I've been inside a Wembley stadium several times. But yeah, there was, I don't know, maybe did Dillian get tired?
Was
the hoopla walking to
they
the
They played
ring?
About 10 songs each.
Man, you know, but yeah, the you know what though? 94,000 people, open air stadium, huge pay per view buys around the world. Tyson Fury, you know, obviously coming from a place, you know, at a depth of mental health hell, to maintain a spot and continue to maintain a spot as the heavyweight champion of the world. It was an incredible event, and you know, he said it's his last fight, Jason, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I think that...
come on now. If there are a set of athletes we know not to believe when it comes to retiring, it's got to be them damn boxers.
Well, I'm assuming.
How many times have we seen them retire and come back and Pacquiao's and Mayweather? Man, come on.
But think about this. I mean, he got paid. So his base pay, I believe, was about 37 or 38 million pounds or dollars, whichever it is.
Okay.
It's generational wealth for one fight. And I am very certain that as Tyson is riding off, very comfortable with a nice fat paycheck from this fight, he's going to be watching what Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk are going to do in their rematch, which is, Jason, again, as a boxer, a boxing fan, Tyson is the man. I understand that. Anthony Joshua lost to Usyk the last time. This last fight was delayed because Usyk is actually back in the Ukraine fighting. Real fight. Guns, people dying. I mean, I don't know what position he's in, man, because, you know, you have a man who beat him the last time, but a guy who was actually on, you know, the field of war when he comes back for that rematch. So I'm looking forward to that. But, I mean, all respect and props to Tyson Fury for a man, the Gypsy King, the people's champion, you know, a guy who's done incredible things in the ring. I'm certainly looking forward to what he's gonna do. But as you said, Jason, what happens is that, for another 20 or 30 or $50 million, I'm very certain that, you know, these professional athletes can unretire very, very quickly, as you would.
Oh, man, that's the only problem I have with boxing. The winner gets $100 million, the loser gets $40 million. Call me a damn loser any day of the week. I will take one punch and drop and collect my $40 million.
The win.
That's the only thing. Exactly.
You'll get the wind-aided punch.
That's it, I'm done. Don't even, I'm done. Oh, yeah. My goodness, my eye, I can't see. Count me to 10. Okay, that's good, $40 million. That's PORTUONDO. So, I mean, no, all serious, Tyson Fury's, one of the best all time in terms of British boxers. Right. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. You mentioned Joshua, of course. We think Lennox Lewis. There are a bunch of others. I mean, but I guess Tyson cements his spot as one of the elite.
Yeah, you know what? For sure. I mean, I think that also when you look, here's what happens. And this is obviously the objective for any aspiring kid out there who wants to be a boxer needs to look at someone like Tyson Fury. One, he does not resemble or look like the athletic type. I mean, when you look at specimens, when you look at specimens, man, think about Joshua. Think about Lennox, right? Mm-hmm. Riddick Bowe, even Deontay Wilder. Like, you know, when you think of like specimens, you just kind of go, oh my God, that guy's 6'5", 6'6", 5% body fat
and
can knock you to the moon, right? Tyson Fury doesn't look that way, but clearly his hand speed and his foot speed and also, I mean, his oh my God, his ring knowledge is spectacular. I mean, the ability to move his opponent around, set up for the shot, and then come in for the kill is something that he's definitely right now in the elites of the elites, and he definitely deserves to be there just based upon his track record and the way he continues to move through the heavyweight, basically the heavyweight bracket.
Yeah, so Tyson Fury may not be top 10 in terms of all-time fighters right now, but I mean.
What do you mean? Might not be top? No, he's definitely top.
Some will say he's exactly
right.
That's some will say, and I'm like, no, he is. I mean, you don't want to dig too far back into the Jack Broughtons and Teddy Lewis and stuff like that. But the kid, but to me, he may not look the part, but he gets the job done. And all I want to know, these are two good friends, right?
Yeah,
and it's great to see you spend 3 hours beating the hell out of one another, and then you hug at the end and be like, "That was good, man." I'm like, no.
3 hours? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just extending things a little bit to get people their money's worth.
Well, yeah. Well, you would believe that. Believe that. I mean, they've been friends for a very long time, and that's what I'm saying to you, that although on paper, Dillian Whyte was certainly an underdog on paper. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that one, he's a yard man, so I have to support him for that.
Gotcha.
Two, he's, you know, he's got a pretty, pretty serious journey, like on his way to where he's at today.
Fair enough.
And I thought that he had the ability to pull it out because he knew Tyson Fury. However, I think that when someone, again, is 6'9", who can bounce around like a welterweight with long arms and also, you know, massive and, you know, ring acumen, it's quite tough. I mean, at the end of the day, if Dillian Wright at 6'4", if he's trying to get in on the inside on Tyson Fury and Tyson Fury is simply just jabbing him, he can't get in there. He just get a bigger, stronger, you know, taller man is always going to have an advantage over a shorter man, you know, so, you know.
And White, I mean, that's just his third loss in 31 fights. So in his first attempt
right.
at the big stage.
Well and I got to tell you, technically it's his second loss. I mean, I mean, again, I'm,
yeah.
you know, I try, he lost to Povatkin. And he was winning the fight, and then he slipped. There was a lapse in defense, and like in every heavyweight championship,
right.
one punch, good night. So he did avenge that loss. Mm-hmm. But for White, I mean, he's lost to Anthony Joshua, and he's now lost to Tyson.
Sure.
Lost to Tyson Fury.
The resume is good for sure. I mean, it's not as unblemished as Fury's in those 33 fights, but still.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to ask you before we wrap this up. Most famous phrase, or famous word, I guess I should say, in the sport, rematch. Are we going to see that?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. Or you're definitely, I think that there was the trilogy with Deontay Wilder is something that that the fans wanted, and I think that both of them wanted because they both were gladiators who felt that they were both king of the mountains and king of the mountain. And I think that that was very necessary. The rematch with Dillian Whyte, no, I can't see that happening. Tyson Fury will apparently wants to fight Francis Ngannou from the UFC, which would be like, my God, I mean, there'd be two man mountains, you know, trying to knock, you know, the heads off each other's necks. So I think that Tyson Fury, they suggested something like that after the fight. And certainly Tyson Fury would be looking to see what happens in the Anthony Joshua Alexander Usyk fight. So I, as a track fan, as a boxing fan, am looking forward to see what the winner of that looks like. And see obviously what Tyson's gonna do. I mean, I think he'd be he wants to be Tyson Fury. In order for him to be at the top of the mountain, he wants to be like Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis is one of the greatest boxers that ever walked the face of the earth, undisputed champion. Right, that's what Tyson Fury has to get in order to cement his legacy. So he's definitely gonna be watching. What happens with Joshua and Usyk, and then if he fights that winner, and wins that, then he certainly can retire as the new best, right? And the new undisputed. But you have to get there. It's just like in track and field, you have to be Olympic champion, and world record holder. I mean that's the undisputed of track, the undisputed of boxing is. Having all the belts at the same time.
Fair enough. We will end it right there. Last question, by the way. Lennox, is he British? Is he Canadian? Jamaican? Wait.
Lennox is a straight yard man, British Canadian.
Okay. How's that for riding the fence?
Well, he is. It's all of the above.
All right. Yeah, Let's move on. Let's talk some basketball because, my goodness, I got to give you some credit. When we spoke last week on the program, I said to you, Donovan, when we pick up the dribble,
right.
7 days from now, right. Will the Raptors still be in it? You said a resounding yes. Yeah. We'll talk Raptors in a moment, but first, my goodness, who could have possibly predicted this from the one-time favorite to win the NBA championship,
wow.
Brooklyn Nets?
Boston, four in a row. After they lost in five to the Nets last year, they answer back with their eighth series sweep in franchise history.
Yes, apparently March Madness has been extended into April because
wow.
Who the hell could have expected Brooklyn? Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the best ballers on the planet. And I realize there was a lot going on with him missing games and blah, 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 blah. But I don't care. Them losing is not a big deal. You get swept?
Yeah. I can't. Remember, we talked last week also, and I thought that although Brooklyn limped into the playoffs.
Right.
Remember we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I still thought that they were actually going to win this series. I thought that they had a chance to beat Boston because you have seen Kyrie in the playoffs. You've seen Durant in the playoffs, and certainly you've seen when the team gets together and is in rhythm, you know, have the ability to go for a good run. I never saw this coming, bro. And yeah, you know what? I don't know if they're disappointed or not. I think that professional athletes today are different than when I was in my prime. I mean, if I'm Durant or Kyrie, I'd be mad as hell. I mean, I'd be pissed, actually. Not even mad as hell. Let me see. I'll say that word. This is crazy. I'm shocked. All I'm saying is I'm shocked. But you know what? It's done. It's done.
You got that right.
It's done. They're
done
playing,
all right.
They're playing, now it's time for golf or swimming, whatever you do in the off season.
Wow.
And you got to gather. Let me ask you a question.
Okay, go for it.
Do you think that Steve Nash, do you think that Steve Nash deserved to be fired?
No. People that are looking from the outside in, I get it. You have two sensational athletes on your team. You got a stack squad. Okay, I get it. But you got to remember the intangibles. First of all, it's not easy sometimes when you have that much talent. Right. Not enough basketball to go around.
Right.
One. Two, Kyrie missed a lot of games. I mean, of almost 250 possible games for Kyrie and Kevin to play together.
Yeah.
I think the number was 58 games they've actually played. So
right.
I don't care how good you are. You need to mesh. You need to have that camaraderie. You need to have that unity.
Yeah.
I mean, you being on a 4x1, right?
Absolutely.
You got to have it going on. You could be the four best individually, but sometimes you need that chemistry. So for me, I would say no to Steve Nash getting fired. I just don't know where they go from here, though, because there's going to be a lot of finger pointing.
Right.
And we didn't even mention the name Ben Simmons yet.
Oh, man. Do we want to go there, though? Do you want to? I guess maybe we need to.
If you're a Nets fan,
what? Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying to you that obviously I'm seeing all the pundits, having dialogue and clearly, criticism going the Nets way. To my question earlier to you, I think it's very important for when you're in a team atmosphere.
Okay.
I think it's very important to have a rhythm. And although people know each other, and also you've got tons of great ballers, there's five people on the court at a time. And it's very, very important that you understand how you're going to distribute that as efficiently as possible to get as much buckets as possible, because that's actually the name of the game. I think that Steve definitely needs to get a good year under his belt again. To see what he can do with these talented people. Kyrie, I think that, with the COVID situation and the vaccination issue, that might be a problem. I'm just talking about, just having rhythm, like we talked about. Durant is a beast, and we know that. We absolutely know that he's a beast.
Can't do it on his own, though.
Well, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as Ben Simmons, man, guy's got to make up his mind, bro. I'd be today, I guess I'll use pissed again. I mean, if I was his teammates, like if he showed up and said, yo, I cannot play this year.
Fine.
So count me out.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. If he said, yo, I've got a pull hamstring, I've got mental health issues, like whatever it is.
You respect that.
Just say, yo, I am out. I'm out. I'll be on the bench. I will be cheering you on. I'm not even going to come to practice. I'm going to go somewhere else and rehab and do all the things I need to do. So I'm not, you know what I mean? I wouldn't even come to, if I were him, I wouldn't even go to practice just to like mess up the rhythm of who's there. And also for anyone else, you know, who's sitting on the bench that might feel that they could get some minutes to kind of get out there and get into the mix and see how that is in practice in hopes that they get in the game. I'm saying that I don't know what the organization is going to do with him. But I'm hoping that he makes a swift and specific and precise decision as to what he's going to do, man. It's like, yo, I'm going to play or I'm not going to play, and here are the reasons why I'm going to do either, right? That to me is what it is. But yeah, I would like for our boy Steve Nash to just have an opportunity, you know, to let everyone go away, you know, at the end of the, obviously it's the end of the season now, but everyone kind of go away, see how it all fits in. And then he can put together something that could be real good. I want Steve to put together a team, one of the teams that he played on. You remember when?
Hey, I checked all four games, the box score. Steve Nash did not miss a shot.
Right.
He didn't miss one damn shot the entire series, right? So for me, you know, it's not the easiest thing trying to coach all these egos. People don't realize that as well.
It's not just. I still don't think it's coaching egos, man. You have one ball. Yep. And ultimately, you have one ball, and you've got a coach making a ton of dough, and then you've got five guys on the court making, you know.
Is he the best coach out there? Hell no.
I don't think people buy, and I've said this before, and I said it in track too. People don't buy tickets to go watch a coach, and I don't know how many people went to the gardens to go watch Steve coach when he was playing. Certainly he had fans, but it's about the team. It's about the five guys that are playing on the court at a time and the guys sitting on the bench. And I just wanted to have another shot. I mean, I just think it's I just hope he doesn't get fired.
No, he shouldn't. And speaking of coaches, as we wrap that series, Ime Udoka, coach of the Boston Celtics. I don't know what he said to his team at that portion of the season, but down the stretch,
right,
they were the best team in all of basketball, and they rode that wave of momentum right into this series. And I can't wait for Boston and Milwaukee, because we're going to get that next.
Fire, brother. It's
that,
fire.
That
man.
Might
it's
be the
fire,
NBA bro. Finals right there.
Okay.
It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that. Let's move on, because the Toronto Raptors, oh, by the way, Goran Dragic could have played for the Raptors, played because they're out now, for the Brooklyn Nets. Who could have possibly expected him to be out before the Raptors? Not many, but the Raptors are still going.
Yes.
They showed a lot of gut, and they showed a lot of determination and grit. And you know, a lot of people couldn't stomach being down 0-3, but all of a sudden they're right back in it.
You know what? My coach used to always say that they don't hand out medals at the 30-meter mark. So if I had a terrible start, I really had to understand that I'd put the work in already. And I had to regroup and correct my mistakes. And what I like about the Raptors, yes, we're talking about it. They were 0-2 and then 0-3. And there's a whole lot of people that are disappointed. But you saw, one of the things I watch, especially when I'm watching basketball, you see signs of brilliance. You see the team coming together. You see, guys starting to hustle, like especially guys off the bench starting to hustle. And you saw that in game three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the expectations, and Jason, you and I have talked about this all year with the Raptors. The Raptors are young and long and fast, you know, and if they turn any of this stuff into a track meet, that's exactly what it is. And we saw the game, even the last game that they played, man. Embiid was tired. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's because
TIYAD. In case you're trying to spell it right there, tired.
Okay, yeah. Right, yeah. And I think that, and ultimately, it is those young guys running at him and running around him, getting him in foul trouble. And again, I think that straight up amazing job the coaching staff has done for the team. One, to keep them mentally and psychologically in it, and the team now obviously is now in rhythm, and they're at a place right now where they, Toronto, feels, and I am confident that they can win the series, and I think that I think that's really what it is. There's no chance that they're coming to Toronto. The Philadelphia's coming to Toronto to play tomorrow, next day, whatever. There's no chance that they're coming to Toronto and losing here. And so this is a 7-game series, and Toronto's in it.
You watched it live, game three. You were at the gym. Mm-hmm. You saw it. They were up by a gazillion points. They let that one slide. The Toronto Raptors could very easily be coming back home with a chance to win the series.
Correct.
Philly's lucky in a way. Right. I know it sounds weird to say that for a team that was up 3-0.
Right.
But the Raptors let that one slip in game three. Even game one, I know they lost by 20. They were in that for three quarters. And then in the fourth, I don't know what happened. The only game I really feel like they didn't deserve to win was game two. But, yeah, you know, it's never happened before.
Right.
A team coming back from down 0-3 in basketball. We've seen it just a handful of times in other sports. But, my goodness, this could be the first.
Listen, it's you know what's really funny? It's going to be the first. And I'm telling
you. Wow.
But I tell you, it's going to be the first, Jason. But here's another thing that, one, I'm a big fan of Doc Rivers. I am. He's a really good coach. And I don't know what he's going to do in Philadelphia, man, because those fans are not forgiving.
There were 5 minutes left in the game, and they're leaving.
Hey,
those fans are the...
You know what? But I like
you
that.
You ever run in Philly?
Absolutely. Penn Relays.
I was going to say.
But Penn Relays, though, is different because...
That's true.
Penn Relays is different because that's... Basically, it's Jamaica against the world,
right? And the crowd isn't all just American, yeah.
Right. I mean, and when you're there, there's probably an eclectic group where track fans are just track fans. They're not as rambunctious, as basketball or football fans. Track fans are like, hey man, yeah, all right, overt, blatant, negative energy towards it. They're just like, yeah, man, my guy's not you. It's the other guy, right? So it's all good. But yeah, I mean, I like Doc. I think that Doc's a good coach. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we have to go through him to get to the next series. And I'm quite confident that Toronto's going to go through.
I'm saying this to Doc Rivers. As much as any sport is a physical thing, mentally, you can see it on Philly. They're like, what is going on here? I mean, Philly, their only lead they had in game five. Mm-hmm. I was going to say game five.
Right.
They got the first bucket of the game.
Yes.
Harden got a couple early buckets, and then he was MIA. I think he was like 2 of 9 the rest of the game. The thing is with Harden, he needs to be more aggressive.
I was just going to ask you what happened to him.
Like he's non-existent.
One of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah, you know what? If they're going to double... Joel, right. Somebody else is going to have to beat the Raptors. Yeah. Whether it be, James,
right.
Whether it be Maxi, whoever. I don't care.
I'm saying to you that, I agree with you, and I'm saying to you that everyone knows that Harden can put up 40 every game. But when the playoffs
come around, not this James Harden.
Well, I mean, playoff James. But I'm saying to you that he should be able to put up 40, and the fact is that if he gets double-teamed, he's got the biggest guy in the NBA that he can pass the ball to, right? So you actually have two guys that can put a 40 each. You got two men on the Sixers that can score 80 points a game. And, hey, man, big up to the Raptors. Respect to the Raptors, man, because, they're doing it, bringing it home, bringing it back here. We're going to take that. We're going to take game six, and then we can go to Philly, and we can close it out.
Yeah, and the last thing we'll say about this, the Raptors' length, as you touched on, it's troublesome for other teams.
Absolutely.
I mean...
Length and speed, right.
Thaddeus Young talked about it when he played against the Raptors. Now he's with them. He's like, man, I'm glad I'm on this side. And Pascal Siakam, quickly. I mean, brother's balling.
Pascal's doing what Pascal's supposed to do, man.
Balling. All right.
I love it.
Donovan Bailey running things, Port Wando and Bailey... Got you covered again, powered by Acast. And, we're always looking for sponsorship, right? We're always looking for support. So,
always. Business, we're open.
Elon Musk, if you happen to be listening, I mean, we're not going to take, $44 billion of your dollars. Just send us a few. And
Four is good.
Four? Okay.
$4
billion. I'll take 0.4, but anyways. The huge news, obviously, him taking over Twitter. I mean, we knew it was going to happen, but now it's official.
Yeah, you know what? Probably not surprising. I mean, the guy did buy 9% of it. But one of the things that I read a lot and very fortunate to be around very wealthy people. And obviously, one of the things that, when you have a great business model and then you make lots of money, the next great thing for any uber wealthy person or family to do in the world is to buy a news outlet or a publishing platform, as it is in the new world. And Elon Musk is someone that he moves markets in business, in real estate. He moves economies in decisions that he makes in one tweet that he does. And I think that it just looks... It looked like the next step for me, you know, where he you know, he's such a powerful figure, and he certainly has the money, and the support and the people around him, that he can, you know, pull out, you know, $44 billion, to give an all cash deal to someone like Twitter, which makes him, you know, he wants it to be a free speech platform, but he is now the most powerful person on the planet, because not only is one of the richest people on the planet, but he controls markets and economies and all those things, like I said. But now he can control the news.
And the first gazillionaire on the face of Earth.
Yes.
You just heard that right. A gazillionaire. That's what he is. That's way more than being a billionaire. But yeah, Forbes has already said it. He's number one when it comes to the Benjamins. We get it. And a lot of that success, of course, you know, you think of all the different things that he's into, Tesla and SpaceX and whatever else. Can you imagine just having so much money? You're just like, I don't know what to do with it. Here, you take some, because I don't need that much.
Yes, yes, Jason, I can.
Well, yes. It must be nice. Must be nice. Well, Mr. Musk, Sir Musk, if you happen to be listening, you know, you can be a part of this podcast for, I would say, $43.9999 billion less than what you spent to get Twitter, right? We're good that way, right?
We're pretty good. Like I said, we only need $4 billion. $4 billion will work. Okay, so Elon, come on in.
I'll take point two.
He's sort of Canadian.
Elon, I'll take point $2 billion.
Yeah, it's all right.
But yeah, no, this is huge. And does Twitter get better?
Well, I think
with
that
him now running things,
I think
how is this going to affect?
I think that he has, from what I read. And also speaking to experts as to why he's doing it.
Yeah, why? Was Twitter in trouble or something?
No.
I don't get it.
I think that it being a public company, there's a whole slew of people, you know, board of directors, there's a whole slew of advisors, investors that you have to report to. But him making it private again, there's more control. Decisions are made quickly and precisely. And it's really only one person. So I think that he will, you know, free speech, which is, I think, what he wants, what he wants the platform to completely be.
Right.
I think that he wants to turn this back to the people without going through the corporate sphere, you know, of the many layers, you know, of what a public company is. And yeah, I think I think it's going to be better. He certainly has ideas. He said he has ideas, and I'm looking forward to see what all those are. I mean, you know, I'm on Twitter. You're on Twitter, so we know it's a fantastic media platform. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see what he does. I mean, I think I'm hoping. As an optimist, as you know, Jason, I'm an optimist. I hope that it gets better, and you'll be able to, you know, do and say whatever you got to say on it, and you know, and let's hope it makes the world better.
Got to give the people what they want,
amen.
As the song goes, right? So,
amen.
He's Donovan Bailey running things. He's Elon Musk buying things.
Yeah. I want to be buying things. Yeah. I want to get to the buying things.
Well, I love you, but yeah, I love him a little bit more. No offense. But it is that time once again here on the program. It's our 2-minute blitz. It's our last minute of play. It's time to fire this man up inside the anchor leg.
A cleaning stage with Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
Yes. Burning. The time where I hand off the baton. And let the man do his thing.
Baton.
Oh,
baton.
Man, I tell you. Well,
baton.
We started things with boxing off the top. Tyson Fury. Well, we got another Tyson to talk about. Mike Tyson was recently. Now, I've heard of snakes on a plane. I've heard of Tysons on a plane, too, because there was some intoxicated gentleman who was just giving it to Mike on the plane, and then Mike said, I had enough. And you know what the funny thing is? Before this, Mike actually took a selfie with the guy. gave him an autograph and everything else, and then decided to imprint his knuckles on his face.
Yeah. You know what? I think that we live in a world right now where people do stupid things for content. And
and
I think that that's very unfortunate when you're dealing with public people, because they're people. I said public people. I realize it's public people or public figures. They're people too. And what's always incredible, and people always, I don't know why people ever give Mike Tyson flack. Mike Tyson, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in the world. Right. And obviously, you know, when, if someone comes up to me or him or whoever to take a photo, take a photo. That's it. But don't violate, don't violate the man's space. First of all, it's still, he's still Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know? So don't go, after you've done all that, don't go violate the man's space, man. That's why he boxed in your face.
Yeah, I'm sure you just check out any social media platform. You can find it. So, yeah. All right. Let's move on. There was a lady who recently was camping out in Washington.
Oh.
She accidentally dropped her phone in the outhouse. She went in to retrieve it and got stuck. Had to be rescued by firefighters. I'm going to ask you, what point in time does a cell phone become just a damn cell phone? You're like, you know what? I can get a new one. Would you
that
go
time?
And, would, exactly.
Dude, at that, well, listen.
Does it matter if it's a number one or a two? Does it, you, as to, bro, whether or not you go back and get it?
I'm a germaphobe. I'm a neat freak germaphobe guy.
So you're not going in after that phone with all those contacts.
I'm very scornful. If I drop my phone in mud, I might not go get it. I'm just saying to you that.
Wow.
I'm saying to you that.
This is a different type of mud. Yeah.
But, what I'm saying to you is that, no, at no point whatsoever do I feel that if I, well, one, I think that if I'm going to the washroom, you know, you need to put things away. I mean, you really don't need it. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily need, but yeah, if I drop my phone somewhere, it's gone and I get a new phone.
Wow.
That's it. So that's a very hard hell no. I will not be retrieving my phone if I drop it, especially in a place like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, let's move on. There's never been a female coach behind an NHL bench, but Corey Cheverry is on path to try and change this. Now, and recently, she became the first woman to serve as a coach at a Canadian men's national team event last week. It was in Germany. The IIHF Under-18 Worlds are wrapping up this weekend. In our lifetime, will we ever see a female behind the bench of a hockey team in the NHL?
As a head coach?
Even assistant.
I think so. What coaching is about, the ability to teach and to impart knowledge on athletes. And, you know, it is terrible to put that, for anyone to put that in, mm-hmm. in some sort of gender spacing. There's amazing, some of the most amazing coaches I know are female, some of the most other amazing coaches are male. And I think that we will see whether we might not see a head coach,
right?
But I hope that we see, I hope we see that. Think about this stuff. You know, like Andre DeGrasse at USC, his head coach was female,
right?
So I'm saying to you,
nothing wrong with
so
it.
I'm saying to you, in track, you see that. In track, you see like the person who can get the most out of that athlete or that person. It gender does not matter to me. So yes, I'm hoping that I see a female coach behind the bench of a hockey team and basketball team and football team for that matter. Because again, incredible. The person that can impart the greatest knowledge to those athletes and motivate those athletes is actually what equality is about, and that's who I want to see.
100%. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your sex. It shouldn't matter. If you can coach, that's all that matters. And don't forget about Becky in San Antonio, right?
Absolutely.
Working
Absolutely.
With Pop, right?
Yep.
So if that can happen out there, definitely can happen. All right, one more thing to talk about. Oh, my favorite footy experience, Champions League. We're down to four teams, a couple of English sides taking on a couple of Spanish sides. So I'm going to break it down for you on the way out. We've got Liverpool, Man City in terms of England. We got Spain's Villarreal and Real Madrid. Will we have two Spanish teams, two English teams, or a mix in the final?
I'm going the mix.
Mix?
Yeah. Okay. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you could be right. Real Madrid just seems poised to get it done. As much as I wouldn't be surprised to see an all-English affair, and I don't want to talk Premiership. I don't want to talk English football because my team, Everton, is about to get relegated, which would be just so devastating. But I'm going to say the final two, I'm going to go Liverpool and Real Madrid.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. Okay. See, I mean, you're stealing these things from me. Okay. That's not right, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it could be Liverpool and Man United.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm a Man U fan, but, you know, I just think that Real Madrid is...
Not Man United, sorry, Manchester City.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Man U fan?
Well, I've been a Man U fan, yes, absolutely, man. Shouts out to Rio Ferdinand, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, well, it's been a minute since you guys have actually won a match, too.
Don't worry about it. Maple Leaf fan?
You're not as bad as Everton, but well, you know, we'll keep an eye on the Champions League because that, for me, is the favorite. So we have come to the end again of another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things as per usual. You know the drill. We ask that you like, share, subscribe, follow, be a part of it, powered by Acast. And as always, you get the final word.
Listen, get out there. It's summer's coming in Canada anyways. Get out there.
Says the man when it's 5 degrees.
Exercise, drink water, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks for the company. He is Donovan Bailey. I'm Jason Portwando. This has been Donovan Bailey Running Things.